meeting to order. Welcome, everyone, and thank you for showing your interest in the community. It's now 1:30 on Tuesday, October the 10th, 2017. We're in the meeting hall of the Clark County Regional Government Center in downtown Laughlin. And this is the regular business meeting of the Laughlin Town Advisory Board. A few preliminaries. Items on the agenda may be taken out of order, combined, removed, or delayed at any time by board asked by the board. No action may be taken on any item not listed on the posted agenda. We do have a planning and zoning matter, so this will be a public hearing. We also ask that everybody to turn off your electronic communication devices. And if you have any private conversations, please take them out in the hallway. Doug Wested will give the invocation and I'll lead the Pledge of Allegiance. So if everybody would please stand.
I think it's only appropriate to pray about what occurred here recently in Las Vegas. So I'd like all of us to pray together. Father, we remember now what happened here recently in Las Vegas, a tragedy that's beyond imagination. We first of all lift up those families and friends and relatives of the ones who lost their lives. They're in pain, and they're going to be in pain for a very long time. And we do lift them up, and we do ask for them on their behalf to give them some peace in the midst of all this. And there are those that were injured. They're obviously suffering. Some of them are also going to be suffering for a long time with their injuries and the trauma that they went through in their minds. So this kind of thing is just beyond imagination. So we pray that somehow, some way, they can gain peace in their minds as time goes by. And there are those that had to run and flee, and they're going to be thinking about this for the rest of their lives. And if there's any way, we really do ask their help, that they can gain some peace in their minds. And then all of us even saw on television, the TV played the whole thing over and over and over again. And we somehow lived it ourselves, even though 100 miles away. You know, there's people that are going to be thinking about this and reliving this over and over and over again. There's people that are going to be afraid to go to Las Vegas for a while. But everybody's been hurt by this. Everybody. So we just pray, our Lord, our God, to intervene here and give us your counsel and give us your peace and guidance. And even for the relatives of the shooter, they're going to have to live with this the rest of their lives. I mean, the whole world's been touched by this. The whole world's been hurt by this. We need you now. We really do ask for your help, your peace, your guidance, and somehow, some way, help repair the hearts and the souls of the people who have been injured. And that's really pretty much all of this. We thank you in the name of Jesus.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Public hearing. forward, people will be invited to speak. If you speak about items with units on this agenda within the board's jurisdiction, but are not on this agenda, you must wait until the comments by the general public to read this at the end of this agenda. In both cases, comments will be limited to 3 minutes. If you do, please step to the speaker's podium, clearly state your name and address, and please spell your last name for the record. And if any member of the board wishes to extend the length of the presentation, the chair can do that or the board can vote on it. Item number 3 is approval of minutes of September the 12th, 2017. Any discussion?
I made the motion to approve September 12th minutes as written.
Is there a second?
I will second.
Thank you. Any more discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Vote 5-0. Approval of the agenda for October 17th. Hold, combine, delay, or delete, or move any items, and I would like to move item under Roman numeral 7, general business number 1, approve a recommendation from the Big Bend Water District Citizens Advisory Committee regarding water rates in Laughlin following presentation by representatives of the Big Bend Water District. I want to move that up after the public safety reports, so between 3 and 4. And I also want to move up hear a presentation by Bob Bill Ray, Strategic Development Advisor, Laughlin Economic Development Corporation, and it says Paul Seller, he has a representative here, regarding the proposed emergency medical clinic in Laughlin, and approve a recommendation to support the design and relocation on county property adjacent to the Laughlin Aquatic Center on South James A. Bill Ray Parkway. I'm going to move that to immediately following item 5 in the reports, which is the regular Big Bend Water District. So moved. Is there a second?
I'll go ahead and second.
Any more discussion? All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those 5-0. Roman number 5, informational items. Received a report from, it says Lieutenant Harry Fagel, but he has, I think it's Sergeant Gene Briscoe here today, Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department, regarding activity and statistics during the past month and other area crime concerns. And this is for discussion on Gene.
Hi, thank you. Gino Briscoe with the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department, standing in for Lieutenant Harry Fagel. I just want to say thank you to the community members for the support that you've given the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department.
Hey, excuse me, would you start with that name for the record?
BRISCOE. Thank you. I just want to thank the Laughlin Town Board for their support in this trying time. The statistics that are laid out are as calls for service this year will be 376 in the month of August. We've issued 391 citations here in Laughlin. No DUI arrests. In Laughlin, we had 12 arrests for battery domestic violence. Bookings, we had 66, which would be arrests. And then juvenile citations would be 4, and they were all residential. Concealed drive activity, basically we had 5 arrests for possession of controlled substance, 2 for establishing false identification of forgery. Trafficking, we had 2 arrests, which is a higher amount of narcotics. Burglary, we had 3 arrests for that. Fugitives, we had 4, and 2 auto burglaries, and that's just up on the casino drive. In the residential area, we arrested an individual for assault with a deadly weapon, 2 arrests for drug possession, and then board of rest with Grand Larson. Pretty much the breakdown of it all. Any questions?
Any questions from the board?
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Receive a report from Sergeant Raymond Hubs of the Nevada Highway Patrol regarding activities and statistics during the last month and other public safety concerns for discussion only.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sergeant Hubs, Nevada Highway Patrol, HUBBS. Last month we had 282 traffic stops and we issued 238 citations. We had 88 calls for service. We worked four vehicle crashes, and we arrested five individuals, one for DUI. Nothing else has changed. Personnel issues. Our trooper is still in training in Las Vegas. He's not here until December. Last time I checked on him, everything is still in status. No issues there. We're still doing direct enforcement. Last month we had we were a little bit low staffed because we had to kick out some vacations and stuff. So we only had basically two troopers for the most part all last month. But this month we're going to do some direct enforcement on 163, enforcing some speed. And next month we're probably going to look at doing a crosswalk enforcement. So that's the agenda for next month. Any questions?
Any questions from the board?
No.
Thank you.
Gino? Randy, I'm sorry. Randy, I was wondering, are your officers on Nevis Highway very often?
Actually, we had this discussion with Metro not too long ago when John was here. Metro, actually, it's in our what's that called? Our agreement?
Mutual aid?
The mutual aid thing. Metro actually covers Nevis Highway. I mean, that's not saying that we're not going to take care of anything on there if we come across it. But years ago, it was because Nevis Highway is a state route, but years ago, through the agreements, that we don't actually patrol that actively every day unless we're driving through.
I was under the understanding that Nevis Highway was a Clark County road.
It is.
Oh.
That's why Metro handles that.
Wait, I thought you said that it was a state highway.
It used to be a state route, but all of that got changed. That's like way before my time.
Oh, okay. I agree. Well, the reason I was asking is I keep hearing about complaints about people who zooming by stop school buses with their lights going and the signs out and everything.
Okay.
And I know you have to go down there to get to your office.
Absolutely. And I will let my crew know that any time that they're through there and the school buses are coming through, maybe we can have somebody in that time frame when the school buses are picking up the job and all.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Not an issue.
Give Metro a hand.
Absolutely.
Thank you, sir. Receive a report from Assistant Chief Larry Avery of the Clark County Fire Department regarding calls for service during the past month and other fire prevention issues.
Good afternoon, everyone. Larry Avery, Clark County Fire Department. Our stats for last month, Station 76 ran 152 calls, 87% of those were medical responses. That was up about 6% from last year. Station 85 ran 73 calls. 85% of those were through EMS responses. Also, that too was an increase of about 6%. I wanted to thank the public for the amazing support that we've received along with Metro after last night's incident. I reported to you on a few different times about the MACAP training, the active shooter training that we've been doing for about 7 years. Last Sunday night, that training has been saving lives. Lieutenant Fagel and I ended up in command post together. Don't normally work together, but under those circumstances, we ended up working together on board command post. You've all seen the news reports. You all know the gravity of what took place. put together that active shooter program that was able to allow us to affect the outcome of that incident that we had. So we're really grateful for all the support. I know a lot of people want to say thank you. They're not sure how. Believe me, on behalf of Chief Castle and Clark County Fire Department, we understand how thankful they are. We appreciate that greatly. We can't take any more donations. We've been small for this stuff, but we know that you're out there thanking us, and we truly appreciate it. Any questions I can answer for you?
Any questions from the board?
All right. Well,
thank you, sir.
Have a good day.
Next, your presentation by Bob Bilbray, Strategic Development Advisor, Rocky Economic Development Corporation, and from Selberg Associates Architects regarding the ER Medical Clinic in Laughlin and approve a recommendation to support the design and location of Carr County property located adjacent to the Laughlin Aquatic Center on South James A. Bilbray Parkway. Please use the microphone.
Carl Bilbray, 1600 Calais, Indiana, OBRY. I'm here on behalf of the Laughlin Economic Development Corporation as a strategic development advisor. First of all, this being presented today has been the culmination of a lot of work, and I'd like to give recognition to those who assisted. Obviously, the second presenter, Dr. Harden, our Commissioner Steve Sislak, has encouraged us to take this to this level. The Army Medical Construction Firm of DR Board, which developed most of the medical facilities from Kingdom to Havasu in the tri-state area for the better part of 20 years, and also all several associates, and also Jeff, who just brought this room to come in before you. I also have to thank the board and membership of the Rockman Economic Development Corporation, who contributed $4,500 to retain the consultants to prepare the plan that's before you consideration today. The scope we gave Mr. Selberg, I cannot say enough about Lisa Johnson, Legislative Medicine Director of Emergency Services over at Valley View for many years now, working for Henderson Hospital. She was absolutely invaluable working with our architect on what was really needed in a first class, high-end emergency room facility. So my thank you goes out to Ms. Johnson for her help and continuing help. I think the scope of what we wanted to do here was to find a site that was local to the community, the residents and families of our community, and one that was most cost-effective, and one that provided the greatest degree of services and quality services for our community. I don't think there's anybody in this room that doesn't understand that for the last 10 years, the highest demand that each of us get is a request for quality medical services. I think the plan before you, our architect representative will discuss the services that will be in the facility and those that will not be in the facility. I think it's pretty safe that probably 85 to 90% of the trips across the room would not be required anymore if this facility meets this design and expectations. With that, I'd probably like to go through the site. First of all, the site history. If you can see that it's located on 4.4 acres that I donated back in 2000. Which now has the fire station located on it and the Mountain View Aquatic Center, and has a development pad just to the south of the existing Aquatic Center. It has all the offsites completed, all curb, gutter, street lights, wet utilities through the lot, and probably is the most underutilized parking lot and site in the community. with probably 9 months of no use whatsoever. And so those off-site costs, I think that putting it on this site would save the community and the ultimate project between $1 million and $1.5 million. So it's almost as much savings as the entire cost of the project. For that reason, both Commissioner Sis and it's owned by the county, by the way, that's solely owned by the county. So those were that was the major reason for selecting this site. Definitely cost, it's not necessarily the only site available, it's the only, it's by far the most cost effective site. We can go to the next. This is the site plan overall with, I believe, 79 parking spaces and the pad site as it was designed and developed when we put the aquatic center. And we go to the next photograph. This is the north view of the pad site. It's obviously covered in brown gravel rock right now. To the right of the swimming pool behind it is the Aqua Springs conveyance system, a 40-foot easement that would not have any different, it's not able to be had redevelopment on it. So that's the bulk of that easement is owned by the adjacent property owners. Gary and Susan Isaac, and I met with them, and I'm very, very cognizant of the impacts that any facility has on adjacent property owners, and I've done my best to work with the adjacent owners and hopefully come up with a configuration to take them up with respect to location and where we place a helicopter bat. I'd like to mention the helicopter bat right now. Obviously, transport from the facility is extremely important, both ground transportation and air transportation. Across the river, where they have approximately 55,000 residents, plus the other 8 or 10,000 we have from Waffle, has amounted to approximately 22 flights a month for each east facility. So we would expect, at the most, unless there was a major land crash or automobile accident, we'd be looking at something in the area of 1 or 2 flights at the most coming from this site. We can move on to the next photograph. That's obviously farther away looking up to the north, up in the way, part way up to Neal's Highway, you know, the next site. Oh, it's just like about the same photograph, I'm sorry. And that's now looking to the west, which indicates, you know, additional lands over and going up the additional lands owned by Clark County right now behind the fire station and extending to the right, triangle form behind the, on the other side of the swimming pool, so the western swimming pool. Next up, next up. Now, at this time, I'd like to ask Rob Sampson, associate architect with Melissa and Associates, to probably go in and discuss the specific services elements within the project, both from the site plan to the floor plan.
Good afternoon. My name is Rob Sampson. It's SAMPSO of the Selberg Associates. Paul is sorry I couldn't be here today to offer this presentation, but a family member of Paul felt sorry for today. So what we'd like to do today is just offer up the list of services that are going to be offered at this facility. It's not a complete list. The design is still under review, but at this particular time, this is what we're proposing and will be offered at the facility. Again, Lisa Johnson is the valuable source information and help in putting together this list of services. She's helped us with the equipment. She's also helped us with all of the staffing requirements that all of the guests. But what we'll do is I'll just briefly go through this list of emergency, and that's going to be difficult for most to be able to read. Freestanding emergency departments are a rapidly increasing source of energy emergency care in the United States. Physically separate from acute care hospitals, but available 24/7 for emergency care. Freestanding EDs offer many of the same services as traditional EDs, such as on-site advanced diagnostic imaging, laboratory testing, and quick delivery of care for patients. The lawful ED will be equipped to treat patients with illness and injuries that require higher level care that urgent care facilities offer. It will be open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Many emergent conditions can be effectively managed at freestanding emergency departments without the need for transfer to a traditional hospital setting. ED would feature emergency physicians, registered nurses, ER techs, and other healthcare emergency professionals to treat many acute and chronic health problems, unpredictable injuries, and sudden illnesses, including but not limited to heart attack, or stroke, chest, abdominal, or severe back pain, broken bones, sprains, cuts, contusions, bruises, respiratory problems, skin infections, nausea, vomiting, or diarrhea. The lawful ED will feature 7 treatment rooms with an additional 4 rapid medical exam rooms, advanced imaging services such as computed tomography, CT, ultrasound, and X-ray, on-site laboratory. It will use electronic medical record system that will allow patients to access the private health information online. The ED will be staffed with 4 certified emergency medicine physicians, all RN nursing staff, ER techs, imaging and laboratory staff, and in-house pharmacists. Breakdown of services. Exam and rapid treatment areas, open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's 5 basic exam rooms, includes 2 isolation rooms, 4 rapid treatment rooms, and 2 behavioral health rooms. What I'll do after we go through this list, I'll go through the floor plan with you and kind of explain how these services all come together. We'll do it briefly and expand on whatever you want. Also in the breakdown of services, we'll have radiology services as discussed previously. We'll be open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for the emergency department, but also will be open during weekdays and usual business hours for outpatient services and testing. Another item that we'll offer here will be respiratory therapy. Open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for the emergency department. And we'll open weekdays during usual business hours for outpatient testing. Some of the services that are offered in the respiratory therapy are mechanical ventilation, oxygen therapy, pulse oximetry monitoring, pulmonary function studies, and non-invasive positive pressure ventilation. And also the lab services, again, will be open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for the emergency department. They'll open weekdays during usual business hours for outpatient testing. You can go to the next slide, please. What we endeavor to do is we prepared some elevations, and keep in mind these are only preliminary, but this is the design at this particular time. And what we've elected to do is try to mimic the pool buildings that are on site. The language is already out there for the buildings, so we've used the rippling and complementary colors. It's hard on the computer to make it exact, but the idea is to match the roofing that's out there, match the color of the walls, although one thing that we'd like to do is incorporate the stucco wall system as opposed to a makeshift wall system, just for the effort to save some costs. And also what we've done is adapted this building obviously to meet more of the needs of an office building or the emergency department. So there'll be a few more windows than any other buildings that will look more like an office building on the bottom. But everything from the roof up will incorporate a lot of the details in the same language you see on the pool buildings. And in this picture, what you see is the emergency drop-off area for the ambulance. You'll see on the top picture, underneath that south elevation, on the right hand side, you've got an elevated roof where the ambulance are pouring underneath. You need to drop offs and put in pictures as needed. On the north elevation, obviously, it's on the left hand side. What we put together here is just a basic site plan. We've looked at a number of different arrangements to make sure that our building would work on this property. What we've been able to do is keep the least amount of impact and maximize the most amount of space. And what we wanted to do is make sure that the needs of the facility were met, and also make sure that the needs of the staff that work there would be met as well. One of the benefits that we see with this site is the site is already great. All of the land is relatively flat and easy to prepare a building pad for. The off-site improvements are complete. The utilities are available. And the patient parking lot is already paid. And what we're proposing to do is add a staff parking area and an emergency drop-off area for the ambulances. There is on the site plan, which you'll see is north oriented to the top of the page. You'll see there's an optional ambulance turnaround area that extends to the east, and there's also the 50-foot diameter helipad. And we've looked at a number of different locations for this helipad as well. One of the options we've incorporated in the discussions of the design at Mr. Rover's request is to maybe attempt to put it on the roof of the building. However, one thing that will come up is significant cost in the structure of the building, so it's something we'd like to work against if at all possible. Sorry to come up here, just work my way through here. What we've just endeavored to do, and I apologize for those who can't see it, you can't follow along if you have any questions. The design of this building is centered on patient flow. We want to also make sure that the experience for the clients coming in, obviously they're going through a negative time in their life, and we want to make sure it's as positive as possible. So we want the flow of the traffic through the office to be easy, seamless. We want it to be something that doesn't cause another hardship for them because they're already there.
Right next to the podium.
Unfavorable. The design accommodates both emergency and outpatient needs. And the way we set this up is there's a central lobby that you'll walk into. And then if you're coming in for an emergency, what will happen is you'll enter through the lobby area, go to registration, be brought in through the triage area, and then ushered off to one of the areas. Ushered off to one of the areas that would either be the rapid care area, which is a little less traditional than most are going to be familiar with, where it uses recliners and sound curtains in a cluster that maximizes the use of the footprint and has enough room for a doctor and a nurse to do vitals and run any tests at that particular location. Maybe it's something small, maybe it's an auger, or one of those we're sitting down and just talking to a nurse will be sufficient. In a case where it's something that's infectious, or there could be maybe a gunshot wound or something, that will be taken in through the triage up to the isolation room that we have. The isolation room is a negative pressure room that will not allow any pathogens to escape the room. It's continually sucking air out of the room for patient safety. Also, if you're coming for an emergency, maybe it's a psychological emergency. We've got two psychiatric evaluation rooms where patients can be brought in. They can be placed in under surveillance for their own safety and safety of ours. This facility, though, as we mentioned already, is not only just for emergencies. So if you're coming in as an outpatient, say you have a drug test that's required or blood work that needs to be done, you'll come into the lobby, enter through the north entrance into the facility, and then we have a blood draw area. We also have a drug testing room, and we have our lab facility. Everything with direct access to the lab, making it as quick and seamless as possible to get in and out of the facility. Also, if you're there for scheduled radiology services, we've got our CT, our X-ray, and our ultrasound room. And again, it's just entered off through the north entrance, through the hallway, and then we have a dedicated exit to get the patients out if there's no follow-up visits in these schedules. Typically, our designs when we do these medical facilities are all centered on making the patient never have to cross the same door twice. So what we like to do is keep a horseshoe-type design where people will be ushered off as they go on. One thing I didn't mention yet, as far as the emergency, if you come in through the ambulance, we've got it set up as well. If there was any kind of a chemical spill or something involving bodily fluids, we've got a decontamination room where you'd be entered into, cleaned off, washed off, before you even enter into the facility. And then from that point, you either go to an isolation room or we actually go to our exam evaluation. One thing you'll notice on this design is it's not unlike many of the medical facilities that you've attended or been into before. You'll see that there's a number of workstations set up as a central workstation that the nursing staff and doctors that use the facility will be able to use their central nervous system for the building as far as patient care and treatment. You also notice that there's the standard things like the registration, the checkout area. We have an in-house lab that will service just the needs of this facility, and then we have also break rooms. One nice thing that we've added into the facility, at least as request, is as this facility garners more and more trips by ambulance, we've got an ambulance EMS driver day room where they'll have their own restroom and have an area where they can sit down, eat their lunch, or relax later on in the next call. This building also houses, as we mentioned earlier, a respiratory care area where that'll be where all the breathing issues are addressed, and we have oxygen storage at the back of the building. That's the square footage of the building is 8,057 square feet currently. And that's what I have that we've come up with for this point. Again, this is something that we've strategized with Lisa Johnson to make sure that we had all the services that we needed to have in the building. And this is what we've come up with. It started as a very small facility. We realized the services that Moffitt needs to move to a much larger facility than what we're showing here. And with a little bit of hard work and a little bit of creativity, we got it down to just over 8,000 square feet. So thank you very much for letting me talk to you guys.
Before you go, yes. Do you want to say something
more? No, I think it's good. I'm just going to say
good. Oh, okay, go ahead, please. Surgical atmosphere.
There's a lot of ways we can structure this. We can structure it as a real estate lease proposal. We can structure it as a land lease with a the subsequent long-term lease behind it by the operator. There's many ways to do this financially. If we go this far, I'll be meeting with county staff to propose the alternatives. Of course, there's different state funding that I've already been contacted with respect to rural medical services state funding alternatives. We're looking at that. And then there's the ultimate bottom line of where we're looking at the Fort Market Development Fund, which we obviously have sufficient funds to build this project for cash now. I think this is the type of item that the Fort Market Development Fund is made to build. This is what built this building, that's what built the aquatic center, that's what built the fire stations, that's what built the Boys and Girls Club. And so I think this is a viable use for your consideration for some funding to the Fort Market Development Fund. And then what would then happen would be the fund would be repaid by lease payments from an operator. Under no circumstances would I recommend that this board will invest in it, this board, any facility that wasn't fully leased and fully funded or fully broke down. Under no circumstances. I'm here today to receive one thing, the approval of the board and the community as to the site location and as to the intended use. From this point forward, then I will proceed to meet with the commissioner and with Senator Harvey again, and we will refine down the financial issues, and I will be back before you with respect to how the project will be structured financially with the negotiations and the property management of the county. Thank you very much, and should you have any questions of Barb or I, we'd be glad to get answers.
Any questions from the board?
Yes.
Go ahead.
So just so I'm clear how this will take place, the money that we're looking at from different funding sources, maybe state revolving loan funds or community development funds, grants from rural medical clinics and stuff, putting together a funding package for the $2.3 million. And that is going to, the property is owned and the building will be owned by Clark County, and then Real Property Management will step in and have a contract with a provider, a service provider, physician, or clinic facility that will make lease payments to the county for operating the clinic. Is that correct?
That's one of the scenarios for the structuring. The structuring is that the county will end up being the landlord, will collect rent. The rent will go into either the Fort Market Development Fund or the county's general fund.
Or county's general fund.
So it may not be that $2.3 million is, we may find a service provider that just wants to build the building alone without the equipment, which would be something different. Obviously, you've got to either build a suit for the whole building or build a suit for the building fully equipped. I'm not inclined to recommend to this board that this board proceed with build a suit fully equipped. I think the Western talk with the service providers, I would look to the service providers bringing to the community the staffing, and I've given a 24-hour staffing schedule to you in your package. And then them bringing in installing the special equipment. So I'm really kind of looking at the 1.8 million as far as the top end of the construction.
And then additionally, I do see where there is a pharmacy, and so that pharmacy would be open. Some of the facilities are available 24 hours. Others are available like in an this is an outpatient. To me, kind of like a walk-in type clinic is what it seems
probably
like. So I'm assuming that the pharmacy will be available during that time frame, not 24 hours.
The pharmacy is an in-house pharmacy. It just will provide medications for the patients at the time Absolutely.
So it will be an ongoing pharmacy.
Respect. It would not be an ongoing pharmacy or a CVS or a Walgreens. No. The site just doesn't, wouldn't fit it. I think it's more, that's probably a development that's much more to divide the property.
But it might be something that if a provider comes in, might be something that they consider or not.
Well, I don't think there's enough room for it. Yeah, I mean, this, you know, that takes a lot of room. Then you have this whole separate waiting area, you know, for the pharmacy. And really, this is more of a version, you know, it's not intended to be fully, you know, meet all the pharmacy needs and prescription needs of the community. Obviously, we all want that too. I'm not sure. I think it was more important to put the facility in the context of a service provider, not a pharmacy. And you can see the data, the bulk of the site, that floor one. I would fully expect that when something like this happens in other communities, you immediately get a pharmacy. You immediately get additional office phone box space, and you need that. That's just a new one. Any other questions?
You know, I don't have a question, but I'd like to make a statement. And I'm really impressed here. Absolutely. I see that so much work has gone into this, and congratulations to you guys. I am just really excited about this. This is what I think our town needs, is some medical services for Lockwood. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have one question, Bob. Bruce, go ahead. Since it's being said this is an emergency and outpatient, how is that going to be conveyed to the citizens of this community that's what it is? It's not someplace to go, you've got sniffles or something like that. And how is that going to be handled if someone does walk in as opposed to a regular type doctor's office or
say
another clinic?
Well, at least I'm glad I didn't go to medical school.
No, I didn't.
I'm not wanting to give the tell the difference between a nosebleed and a broken arm. Those are determinations. They're definitely in the medical facility. They're going to be treated according to what the needs are.
Okay.
If it was a deal for 24 hours a day, you take the funds in. It would need service. And those decisions are made by somebody far smarter than the means as to what's needed and how to treat it. I'm sure this is fairly common. This is not quick care. Obviously, it's a hybrid between a small hospital and a quick care. That's pretty clear. They'll have, fully certified, board certified RNs. We're not looking for something that closes. We're looking for something to take care of this community for. And I would expect the life expectancy of this building to be somewhere between 12 and 14 years.
Okay, my second question is in regards to the ambulance service. Do you know which one we'll be contracted with?
Well, right now, I think we're under contract with it anymore. I think that's going to be
AMI.
Okay. It would be a contract service with the franchise with the county. So I would imagine they would be the transport.
I'm also very impressed with what's been done here. This looks fabulous.
Thank you so much.
Is there a question?
Yeah. One of the things that this just reminds me of, and if you can draw the comparison, because the arrangement is relatively similar to what we have in the UNC clinic here in Longwood, as far as as far as leasing the property and things, can you explain? I mean, historically, the UMC failed within the community. They, closed up shop, moved, left, shut it down. So those of us that have been here a long time, we remember that. So, I mean, how will this be different?
Kathy, with all due respect, this is totally different to the structuring, the land ownership, the lease payments, than the UMC facility was. That was owned by private property. goes on that should be fast. Now you have a little inside. That's a big issue. That site was always owned by, was never allowed the county, was operated by MMC. Obviously, at that time, there was substantially more service to that facility coming from employees at hotels, at the residents of the book using. This facility is approximately 3.5 times the size of the UMC that was on this program. But just the ownership of the land, ownership of the building, makes it a totally different financial reality than what it can. And we have substantially more residents. The county residents have substantially more needs than what residents have back in those days.
Greater needs of emergency services, not necessarily walking of any type.
Right.
Which we have at the mall. We have over there. Deals with some of that.
Well, this is definitely picking up for our community in the reservation world. This would be assuming the majority of that type of service.
For walk-in service or
yes.
Emergency service?
Both. Well, it's going to be 24 hours, that is going to be hard.
Any more questions from the board?
Thank you very much for your consideration.
Okay, is there anybody in the audience who would like to speak in favor of this?
My name is Carrie Larson, LARSON. I am a broker and I represent the immediate adjacent property owner, Sierra Associated Investments, and also Peak Development. I also want to speak to it as the broker that represents Cottage Court. You may know we're building homes right now that range between $300,000 and $500,000. So it's a rather luxury community. And some people have initially said that they were concerned about it until we really started to think about what this facility would do for our community. It's going to substantially reduce response times. And it's also going to give us a place where, you know, we can go and take care of our emergent needs that we don't have right now without a 20-minute drive to a hospital. We, as the adjacent property owners and me as the broker trying to sell homes, are very much in support of this. We have a tentative map right now that actually has that Hyco Springs wash line set up as a road. And so we will need to be talking about where does a helicopter pad go to, where is the best place for it to be, but we are open to considering it in the location that it's in, or maybe coming up with some other ideas. But as a whole, we are in support of this facility.
Anybody else wish to speak in support of it? Anybody wish to speak neutral? Anybody wish to speak against it? Thank you. Board, we're open for a motion.
I'll motion. Can you hear it? Okay. I motion that we approve the opposed site and facility.
And I will second that.
Any more discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries to approve the conceptual site and facility design.
Thank you very much. I apologize for how much time you're meeting. Okay, a little bit. Thank you.
Thank you.
he's absent, and he has presented his usual fine, brief, concise, written report. And I'll just summarize it. Statistics, September 2017, treated an average of 2.25 million gallons per day, producing clean water returned to the Colorado River, and that compares to 2.13 million gallons per day last year. So that's an increase of 120,000 gallons per day from the last year. No service complaints, no water complaints. 29 call before you dig tickets. And I don't know if there's any copies left in the back, but he has a very nice, easy to see chart. Okay, next up is Chauncey Chagong with the Big Bend Water District regarding the status of water system for discussion on. Good afternoon, everybody. Chauncey Chagong on behalf of the Big Bend Water District. The diversion report for the month of September was 377 acre feet compared to 359 acre feet from 2016. Total diversion so far for 2017 is 3,130 acre feet. There have been no complaints or calls for major leaks. Also, as the town board is aware, and we'll hear from in a few moments, the Big Bend Water District has been conducting a citizens advisory committee made up of individuals from the community to discuss water rates in Laughlin. The committee met for the final time in September, and on behalf of the Big Bend Water District, I wanted to thank the members of the committee for their hard work, dedication, and participation. Members of the committee devoted much of their time, not only in attending the meetings, but also evaluating and analyzing the various rate scenarios given to them. Good code questions were asked, important feedback was given by the committee, and again, on behalf of the Big Bend Water District, we truly appreciate their time and effort in this endeavor. And with that, I'm happy to take any questions. Any questions from the board? Thank you, Chauncey.
Thank you.
And right now I'm going to declare a 10-minute recess, and then we'll get back to the other one.